Tyroneites. This is nice.
This is one of the greatest bands of the modern era, in my personal opinion.
So new Harry Styles, then? Sorry, it's Wilco, yeah.
Yeah, really good.
Great production, man.
Jeff Tweedy is a genius.
Well said. I'm Spike O'Neill along with Matt Butler. You know, I didn't intend to bring up that Christmas Carol show I saw last night, but in talking about it, I decided to do a little research into it, and it was a BBC production from, I think, 2017. It was first aired in 2019, a three-part miniseries. They showed all three last night on the, I just came across it on regular broadcast television. Guy Pearce was the role of Ebenezer Scrooge, and I couldn't think of the guy's name who played Marley. And he played Tommy in Snatch and a bunch of other things. He was in Boardwalk Empire. He played like Al Capone in Boardwalk Empire. His name is Stephen Graham. He's just fantastic. He played Marley in this show. And a great cast, very, very well produced, very well done. If you get a chance to, I highly recommend it. FX's A Christmas Carol. But it made me think about, you know, kind of trying to be a better guy, see things from all sides, and be more empathetic about people with opposing points of view. And I know that some of the texters who text our show at 888-973-5476. We have a different viewpoint at Cairo Nights. I think, Matt, I can speak for you. I think we share a similar sensibility in the way of our ideology.
Yes, we're sort of two sides of the same coin in that you have the optimistic side, I have the pessimistic side. But ideologically, we track on a lot of things.
We do. We do. And I think it's one of the reasons we get along so well. And sometimes texters just won't see our point of view. And sometimes we won't see theirs. And that it's what happens. We always do try to be civil and empathetic. One of the things I'm working on as a new host here at Cairo Nights, and a new host in general, because I was always a wingman, if not a partner, on a radio program and didn't get a chance to actually drive the bus. And one of the things I'm trying to learn is to be more open-minded, understanding, empathetic. You know, I often say I like to leave the show smarter than I got here. And as wrong as I am most times, it's an easy accomplishment on a daily basis.
Yeah, I mean, we try, but it always seems to end up at this point.
Look at it this way. Think of how stupid the average person is, and then realize half of them are stupider than that.
George Carlin, some things just stand up over time. And that quote is that bit, that observation is definitely one of them. Well, here's the latest. I never thought I'd agree with this particular person, but I flat out do. And we're talking about the candidate in Washington's, was it the 10th, I believe? We're talking about Joe Kent. Was that the 8th or the 10th or the 3rd? The 3rd, down there by Vancouver, Portland area. Joe Kent, who lost his election to Marie Glusenkamp-Perez and has asked for a recount that he is paying for himself, because in the final vote total of that Washington 3rd, candidate Joe Kent lost by 0.08% by a total of 2,629 votes. Not enough to trigger an automatic recount. If it was less than 2,000 votes separating the candidates or 0.5%, an automatic recount would have been triggered. But Joe Kent wants a recount of the election. And the reason that I'm for this is because he's not claiming fraud. He's not claiming, you know, anything that can't be proven. He's not claiming the election was stolen.
No, he's just costing the taxpayers 50
grand. No. He's paying for this.
Oh, he is.
He's paying for this.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the thing. And what he just wants is to make sure that there is an accurate, valid, reliable election. And I can't see anything wrong with that. I mean, I hear you. When you refuse to lose, you know, when you refuse to accept defeat, when you peddle unsubstantiated, you know, accusations or conspiracy theories, when you conflate trouble with the election, difficulties in getting the election accomplished, to intentional fraud or intentional malfeasance in an election, that's dangerous. But what Joe Kent is asking for is a recount, an accurate, verification of the election results on his own dime. And I'm sure that contributors from a national perspective to his campaign are the ones who are footing the bill, but it's not the taxpayer. You know, and at this point, Joe Kent and I, and I don't agree with Joe Kent on anything else. I want to be clear about that. You know, the guy has fallen in with some folks in an attempt to further his political career and win the election for the Washington 3rd. Guys like Nick Fuentes. You know, people that you happily associate with, but then when the light of day hits that, you disavow and kind of backpedal and, you know, kind of rationalize, well, I was just talking, blah, blah, blah. It wasn't. That I can't stomach. I wonder if Joe Kent, who by all accounts didn't run a bad election, came within 0.08 of winning the seat, beat of a Republican incumbent in the primary. You know, guy obviously has a political future if he wants one. I wonder, though, if you insist on a recount and you pay for a recount and you don't do it based on election denying or claims of fraud, claims of electoral malfeasance, are you burning the bridge with the big guy? You know, I think that's a pretty courageous thing for Joe Kent to do.
Texter asks a valid question, though. Is he doing it out of his own pocket, or is it campaign money?
I like I said, I think it is probably campaign money. I think, and I have no problem with that either. These candidates build big war chests from donations outside of our state, and there's nothing illegal about that. I think dark money in politics might be the worst thing that's ever been decided by our Supreme Court, is the Citizens United decision that lets money be equal to speech. And I don't know how, you know, a rich guy like George Soros or whomever, the Koch brothers, should be have the same power as 1,000 different voices or a billion different voices in just one person's pocket. I don't see how that is a smart decision or a healthy decision for our country. But the fact that they've got a war chest from a campaign perspective and they want to use that to pay for a recount that doesn't fall to the taxpayer's pocket, I got no problem with that. And if Joe Kent wants a recount and doesn't blame it on accusations of election fraud, I think he's walking out onto a plank off the side of a ship of the SS, you know, Big Orange guy, and ready to walk the plank. If he loses this recount and doesn't keep saying the, you know, election denying fraud 2020 mantra of those candidates endorsed by former President Trump, I think Joe Kent's going to be done in politics, at least from the MAGA perspective. So I give Joe Kent all the credit in the world for not hanging his hat on the conspiracy people, his tinfoil hat on the conspiracy people, and just saying, hey, look, I just want to know, I want it verified that the election count is accurate. And again, that's, I didn't think I'd agree with this guy on anything ever, but I kind of have to admit, if you're willing to accept the results of the election after a recount, then okay. I think we all want an accurate vote that we can trust. Other than that, you know, I got nothing in common with the guy. And if he loses the election, probably I'll never hear his name again. And that's just fine with me too. But I got to admit, when I saw that he wanted a recount and the reasons he wanted it, I was impressed and something we agreed upon. Much like Kristi Noem in South Dakota, saying it's probably a bad idea for government social media sites to take part in TikTok because it is Chinese owned. And it is everyone that uses TikTok. Most of us, it doesn't matter if the Chinese know what I'm doing. You know, my dance moves aren't going to help the Chinese government take over the world.
I mean, Trump wanted to ban it, and I actually didn't disagree with that either.
I'm with you. There's a lot of common sense in that. I think it's dangerous when China, which is, you know, the 800-pound elephant in the room, gorilla in the room, whatever you want to call it, when they are so entwined in every business in their country, private or government owned, they're in there. They got their fingers in every pie. And if TikTok is owned by the Chinese, interest, let alone the Chinese government, that seems to be hard to separate the two. It seems pretty dangerous to let them into our life on a daily, constant basis. But so many of American citizens, global citizens, on TikTok, it's where some people get their news now, because that's how long our attention span is. That seems incredibly dangerous. And when TikTok has an official state social media platform using TikTok to reach their constituents, their citizens of South Dakota or any other state, well, it means that TikTok, i.e. the Chinese, have then access to everything South Dakota has in their government social media campaign. And that runs through the government computers of South Dakota, which means if TikTok's in their social media, they're in everything else South Dakota is doing. And since they're still one of the 50 states, kind of means that TikTok has their tentacles in everything the entire federal government is doing. That's how hacking works, right? You break through one door, you're into the building. You're into the whole system. So good on you, Christy Noem. Solid plan. Smart decision. I wonder how our Governor Jay Inslee feels about TikTok and the Washington State social media platforms. Are we on it? I'm sure we are.
Yes, being the avid TikTok user that I am, I've looked.
Are we? I don't know. We should call my teenage daughter. She could tell me. She's a TikToker.
Okay.
I bet we are. And it seems pretty stupid that we are, given that we can't trust the security of TikTok. Again, like you said, dude, former President Trump wanted to kick it out. And maybe before it got so intertwined with everything we do every day, probably was a good idea. Didn't see that one coming. Was it my blind hatred of all things, the Donald, that didn't let me see the wisdom in that at the time? Probably.
In fairness, it's not a particularly controversial take. It's pretty much a bipartisan issue that most people agree that these things represent a security risk. And there's a lot of both sides cynicism about social media in general nowadays.
Yeah.
So it's not a terribly shocking revelation.
No, it's not, and it shouldn't be. But then again, it is terribly shocking that only South Dakota has decided to ban them from their state's social media platforms using it, right? That seems pretty shocking to me. The fact that other states still are willingly using TikTok to promote their state's agenda on social media, events, announcements. I mean, you got to go where the people are, right? You got to get where the eyeballs are. If you want to get your message out, you got to.
Do you?
I guess. Are there safer platforms?
Whatever happened to people just saying, you know what? This is the information. We put it in a reliable place. Choose to access it or don't. We're not obligated to put everything on the lower shelf for everybody.
Do
your own homework.
No, you're right. I love your analogy, too. This is the bottom shelf. It really is. You know? But then again, given the fact that we're dumbing down ourselves as a society, that sometimes...
Our country can't stop Elon Musk from opening the pipeline up back to literal neo-Nazis who are being pursued for damages, for real-life harassment that they cause to people. And Elon's like, hey, here, come right back on Twitter. We can't deal with our own domestic terrorists.
I made a point the other day to somebody. You're right, regarding Twitter. I made a comment the other day on social media from my own private account, not from anything to do with Cairo News Radio or Cairo Nights. That Twitter was one of the few platforms that the citizens of China could use to show what's going on in their country with their protests against government lockdown.
Yeah.
And the fact that Twitter has fired a majority of their content moderation department, that left Twitter unable to stop the Chinese government from stopping its citizens from using Twitter to tell the world what's going on. When people of China try to, citizens of China try to use Twitter to let the world know what's going on in their lives, the Chinese government floods those Twitter accounts with spam and misinformation. And Twitter is now unable to monitor that and stop that from happening. So Elon Musk, the champion of free speech from you folks on the right who think it's such a wonderful thing that he's allowing everybody back on for free speech, free speech, free speech. He's also disabled this global platform to the point where it's now subject to foreign attack by propaganda and misinformation from a hostile foreign government, i.e. China, about their own citizens.
And you raise a valid point there, too, because in a lot of instances, countries outside of the U.S., countries that have very unstable situations, are seriously concerned that a lack of moderation and, you know, safety efforts on the part of Twitter in their countries could actually accelerate political violence and rioting.
Absolutely. It seems a ridiculous notion that it won't accelerate that. If bad players, you know, evil doers see a way in, an unguarded way in, they're coming. And they're going to come in full force. And everybody that sees it work for one, every evildoer is going to follow the same path. So free speech is great. It's be careful what you wish for, because it can be exploited to the point of danger. That seems like we're at that cliff right now. It's Kyra Knights. I'm Spike O'Neill along with Matt Butler. We'll be right back. Sounds like the Finn Brothers.
This is the Black Keys.
No kidding.
One called Shine a Little Light.
Great tune. Welcome back to Kyra Knights, everybody. I'm Spike Neal along with Matt Butler. And I meant what I said earlier about you playing some more of J.D. McPherson's Sox album.
Yes.
I know we got 3 weeks till Christmas. It's just 3 weeks till Christmas. Believe that. Less than 3 weeks. 3 weeks from yesterday. Today be the 20th. 3 weeks from today is the 26th. Wow. Yep. It's that time of year again, people. Release a story about Indonesia. You hear stories like that. Indonesia is going to make extramarital sex illegal, punishable by up to a year in jail. You make you really appreciate the freedoms we have in this country to decide for yourself how you want to live. And I asked Lisa, don't they see the irony of subjecting someone who's been found guilty of extramarital sex to a year in prison, which will ultimately lead to more extramarital sex? Don't they see the irony in that? I'm just glad I'm in this country where you can be an idiot, an immoral D-bag. And while it will get you probably out of a happy marriage, it won't get you put in jail. We're pretty lucky here. We can have opposing viewpoints. We're a plural society. We can have different ways to see things. We can have a gay wedding, and we can also be a web designer that wants nothing to do with designing a website for a gay wedding. We're all allowed to have those views. We can see things differently. We don't have to agree on stuff. But that being said, if we don't have a set of guidelines that all are required to follow, regardless of our individual beliefs, then we kind of got chaos. We kind of got anarchy. We don't really have a country, to quote some folks who threaten constantly the fear of you won't have a country anymore. Some things really will lead to us not having a country anymore. Rule of law being one of them. Peaceful transfer of power. Another thing that would stop us from having a country anymore. If we don't adhere to that tradition, right? It can't be more than it's a constitutional requirement.
You know, and that's the thing I've always maintained to people who want to talk about, and regardless of their political stripe, people who want to talk about revolution, taking up arms, etc. I've always said, if you reach that point, we already no longer have a country, and what comes next is not going to be better.
No. I read an opinion piece from a conservative writer that was stating, you know, we already have one party that has resigned itself to authoritarianism. That is being led by an individual who wants to dismiss the will of a free and fair election, wants to encourage the use of violence to reach political ends. That's the definition of authoritarianism. Boy, what texter Benny says, look up what Indonesia did in 1965, people who leaned left with full cooperation and help of the CIA. Sure. Our country is far from perfect. Wouldn't begin to tell you otherwise. Wouldn't begin to claim we're perfect. Our government has done some shady, shady stuff, not just abroad, but here at home as well. You know, transparency. Again, me and Joe Kent can agree on that. Transparency, accountability, and the rule of law. These are the cornerstones that we can't afford to throw away, just haphazardly throw away because we don't like the results of a particular round. Here's an interesting story. Wow, somebody just texted this in to the Cairo text line. Did you see this one? No, you probably haven't yet. You're busy doing a job. Yeah, I don't know if you heard.
So what?
We I know, right? What are you talking about, Spike? Oh, I don't know, Matt. Whatever pops in front of my little scrambled mind.
Oh, you're still here. Okay,
yeah,
hi.
I hear you. Let's take just a moment to reflect on the weekend from college football. We haven't done that at all tonight, and I wanted to, so we're going to do it now. Washington Huskies, by the way, I think it's 6, if not 7, Pac-12 teams made bowl appearances this year, which isn't saying much because there are like 82 bowl games, or excuse me, 42 bowl games, 84 teams, I think, play total in the bowl championship series and all the bowl season. Wazoo's in a bowl, Huskies are in a bowl, Oregon State are in bowls, USC, you know, seven Pac-12 teams, I believe, got to bowl games this year. Utah's going to the Rose Bowl because they won the Pac-12 tournament or conference championship twice in a row. But if USC, which was at the time ranked fourth in the nation, played Utah on Friday night, if USC had won the Pac-12 championship, the Huskies were looking at a Rose Bowl bid. The 10-2 Huskies, after going 4-8 last year in an abysmal season. First-year coach Kalen DeBoer, probably ought to be the Pac-12 coach of the year, I would think. Had his team on the verge of going to Pasadena, playing the Rose Bowl against Penn State in his first year. And if Coach DeBoer had achieved a New Year's Six bowl game for his team, was looking at a $300,000 bonus in his contract, a contract he just extended before the end of his first season. But USC, you know, crapped the bed, that's an industry term in football, and got beat up by Oregon, by Utah on national TV. Pac-12 championship Friday night. So, nobody goes to the playoffs from the Pac-12, which had a good year, an up-and-coming kind of a year. And SC, I think, is going to, I think, the Cotton, one of the New York Bowl games, or 12, you know, because they just had two losses both to Utah. Utah will go to the Rose Bowl. Huskies will go to the Alamo Bowl in San Antonio, Texas, to take on Texas and former coach Steve Sarkisian and the Texas Longhorns. So that's an interesting matchup for the Huskies, not the Rose Bowl they were looking at on Friday afternoon. But a good year for the Pac-12. Great news for the Huskies is it was announced last night in a release that the nation's leading passer, Michael Penix Jr., transfer from Indiana, where Coach DeBoer used to be the offense coordinator, has decided to stay in college and come back for his senior year at the UW. That's fantastic news, at least for Husky fans. It's not great news for the rest of the Pac-12, not great news for Cougar fans. Michael Penix Jr. led the nation in passing, 4,400 yards, I believe, and 29 touchdowns, 5 7 interceptions, 5 sacks on the year. I mean, incredible, incredible year for a kid who'd played 4 years at Indiana, got beat up in that program, came here for a fresh start and sure gave us one. So the Huskies, which they'll take on Texas. I think they're ranked 12th in the nation. Texas ranked 20. Huskies probably heavily favored in that game. Will probably be a preseason top 10 going into next season with Michael Penix Jr. coming back. And the transfer portal these days, the transfer portal in college sports, lets kids move around the country. That guy's like a lighthouse for talent. Imagine all the additions the Huskies can make in the offseason. The underclassmen receivers that are going to come back to play with Penix again. Huskies could legitimately make a run at the Pac-12 title next year. Maybe even the college playoffs this year. If the Huskies hadn't lost in Arizona State and had taken on USC as a 11-win, one-loss team in the Pac-12 championship, the way Utah cut SC to shreds, you think Michael Penix couldn't have done that? We could be in the playoffs this year. Imagine what next year is going to be like. It's going to be great. Anyway, it's been on my mind all day. Let's let me air that out a little bit for you. And we can all agree on college football. I imagine Cougar fans right now are even madder at me than they were when I was talking about the politics and stuff earlier. It's okay. Yep, Utah was the only team that gave SC both their losses. And it wasn't even close on Friday night. Utah down 14-3 at one point in the game. Came in and just slapped SC around for the final three quarters of the game. Unbelievable night. Anyway, folks, one more time before we go. We got one more break to do. We'll talk about your text a little bit, and we'll get back to the Cairo Knights, Cairo News Radio Holiday Magic 22 auction. The Holiday Magic, along with Cairo Knights, Cairo News Radio and Treehouse. We'll talk about that again too before we go. We'll be right back.
To concentrate on teddy bears and roller skates. Can't you see I'm working here? There's so much to do. I've gotta finish up the list. I'm rolling up my sleeves. It's time to make that yearly trip. They call it Christmas Eve.
Mr. Claus, Mr. Claus, I really hope you know you're not the only jolly elf that's running this North Pole. Fix the sled, pick up the slack. I keep the business in the black. You never tell me thank you, and you barely say hello. I guess I've added.
Is this Jenny McPherson?
It is.
I love it.
Lucy Silvas.
Brilliant.
When you finally fly the coop come this Christmas Eve.
What happened to the Christmases of yesterday?
This is Cairo Knights. I'm Spike O'Neill with Matt Butler. When this started, I was a little worried about the content of the song itself. It reminded me of a song we ended up making that I had to really fight to make. You know the song Me and Mrs. Jones?
Oh, yes.
Of course you do. I wanted to do a song called Me and Mrs. Claus about an elf.
I see where this is going.
Yeah, about an elf that was having an affair every time, one night a year.
Huh. Rest assured. Me and Mrs. Claus. We got a thing going on.
And then trying to find a way that I could sing while still on helium and not do permanent brain damage was hard to do.
I can imagine.
Me and Mrs. Claus.
Yeah, just the whole content of that song, the whole premise and vibe was wrong. But that was brilliant.
And that's a happy resolution at the end.
It's about how it's a team effort up there, right?
Even Santa and Mrs. Claus have their domestic squabbles at times.
Absolutely, and it takes two to run a toy shop or to tango or whatever else. It takes two. You can't. Behind every good fat man is a good fat woman. I guess I'm
okay. Not,
and I'm just going by the stereotypes of the cartoons I've watched in my life.
Well nourished.
Yeah, well nourished. There you go. Well, in that weather, you got to build up a big, you know, an underlayer.
Exactly. It's getting acclimated.
Much like the pen feathers on a penguin. You have to insulate. Enough of this nonsense.
Well, think about it, too. There must be some real stress in that marriage, because if he's only gone one night a year, that could put the pressure
Seriously,
on.
Seriously, what else? Yeah, right, when is ladies' night? When do the girls get out? Where are you going to go, gnome? You know?
Well, maybe.
I mean, gosh, heaven forbid.
It'll really happen in a place like Juneau.
Yeah, here. We need to play Santa Baby 2, the Eartha Kitt version. At some point, we will, and we will, folks.
Oh, really, I've got hundreds of songs to get to before Christmas.
I know, right? We should, before we go tonight, mention one last time, one more time. We got plenty of days, but it's only going till Friday at 11:59. Cairo News Radio and Treehouse presents the 34th Annual Holiday Magic. And this is a very worthwhile effort from everybody here at Cairo and all the folks year-round at Treehouse to help the children in Washington who are in foster care and the families who are helping these children have something like a home you and I may take for granted. There are, for the first time ever, 13 different auction items up for auction currently. All are available to bid on. Experiences from the Kraken Games to the Mariner Diamond Club to several involving the Seahawks, all the various radio shows here at both Cairo News Radio and Seattle Sports. There's a Seattle Sports package with
One looks pretty awesome.
Yeah, seriously.
For sure.
Go fishing with Dory Monson and Tom Nelson. Spend an afternoon in a boat with Dory Monson. You know what I realized, though? By the way, the Cairo Knights auction item is on page 2. If you look at the items, there are 12 items on page 1, but 13 items in total, and we appropriately are the 13th item. I mean, there's no accident here. I was bitching a moment earlier that we were on page 2, but we're worth looking for.
And I want our audience to really represent and drive that bid up, because I want people to see what great, loyal fans we have here at Knights. Well, it's kind of our own little club, and we want to get some recognition going.
Well, something I noticed in the rules, the bylaws, you know, it says that this does not include the opportunity to appear or speak on air, but that opportunity is available. We don't want to tell anybody that they can't some people might be shy. Our boss pointed out some people might be shy. We don't want you to think that bidding on this product or this auction, this experience to come in and watch the show would require you to do something uncomfortable.
Now, to clarify, that doesn't mean you can show up like Michael Wincott's character in the movie Talk Radio and pull that act.
Right.
That ain't going to fly.
Right. Or on Airheads, where you take over the station until we play your band's demo. Not going to happen.
That's not going to happen.
Well,
either.
I don't know. It depends on what your bid is. And if you want to make another sizable donation to the Treehouse, I'd get your demo on the air.
Hey, as a former music radio programmer, I am immune to payola. I don't play that.
What I also noticed in the bylaws was this. The prize may be transferred to someone else as a gift, as long as that recipient is 18 years or older. And say there's somebody on your list that's been naughty, and you want to punish them. And you can make them sit through this show for 3 hours.
Yeah. give it to your arch-conservative uncle.
Or give it to your bleeding-heart liberal. Be the high bidder on the Dory Monson fishing expedition.
Oh, that would
and
be
put
cool.
your libtard uncle in the boat with Dory Monson.
Huh? I'm sure they'd have a good time.
Huh? Be
I'm
great.
Sure it'd be a good time.
It'd be a great time. Anyway, the bottom line is all this is for a very worthwhile cause. It's Treehouse. And they make life-changing differences in the lives of the foster children and the foster families that they work with. And I also want to point out, before we go, because I know we're out of time, if you can't make a bid on an item, if it's getting out of your price range, or if you want to help, you can make a one-time donation. You can make a monthly recurring donation to Treehouse. It really is worth the time and trouble, and well worth your effort and your resources.
They do great work.
They really do. It's Cairo Knights. Spike O'Neill with Matt Butler. We'll be back tomorrow night, barring any kind of foreseen intervention by management tomorrow.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Eyes crossed. Legs crossed. I got to get to the restroom. It's been fun. Thanks, Matt. You're a great job, always. You texters, I didn't get to you tonight. That's okay. You understand why. You're wonderful. I appreciate you. Talk to you guys soon.